Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I am delightful, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. The NFL owners' meeting's going on, and Brian Callahan with some newsworthy items this morning. I want to get your thoughts on this first. We talked about NWI being let go by the Titans, and that they view Bryce Oliver as a potential replacement there. What do you make of that idea of Bryce Oliver maybe getting some more playing time this year out there for the Titans?
You know, Bryce Oliver had a great camp last year. I mean, he really did. I mean, he made plays regularly on the practice field. Now, there's a difference between making plays in the practice field and on the game field. So he's going to have to be able to transition with that. You know, he's a guy who put up ridiculous numbers at Youngstown State. But he is a big, strong guy with really large hands. And, you know, he's a guy that I'm excited to see more of this year, but I don't know how much you can I don't know how much you can expect. Like what's the expectation? You know, do you think, are they expecting to get 600 yards from him? Are they expecting to get 800 yards from him? You know, I think that's a danger with an unproven, you know, player is what's your expectation and how big of a role is he going to fill when he's, in fact, never done that before.
So, also, of course, Corey, lots of questions around, you know, basically why not say if Cam Ward's your guy, if he's your guy, basically the Titans approach to the whole thing. And of course, you know, Brian Callahan talking about Mike Borgonzi's disciplined approach. I guess to me, it's there's no reason to really be out there, you know, unless it's, I mean, there's really no reason to be out there, you know, unless it's like you just want to end the drama and all that. But do you buy that there's still, you know, actual evaluating going on, that they really aren't decided behind closed doors, and that they're really like in 2 weeks they'll finally come to me, okay, what's our decision? Like, do you buy that?
Well, I think number one, it's not Brian Callahan's job. It's Mike Borgonzi's job. It's Chad Brinker's job. Brian Callahan's job is largely to coach the team. You know, does he have input on the ability of these guys? Yes. But, you know, he should not be the one saying, you know, hey, Bryce is our guy, or, you know, we're doing this or we're doing that. You know, because that's not his job. That's not his role. So I don't think that should be coming from him, you know, number one. You have to go through the process, and, you know, you can love Cam Ward and be thinking right now, yeah, we're probably taking Cam Ward. But I do agree you have to go through all the scenarios, because what happens if, where are the Saints pick, like 8, 9?
I think they're 9th, yep.
Yeah. What happens if all of a sudden the Saints come up to you and say, we're going to give you our next 3 number ones and this year's number 2 as well?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. Now, that it's interesting you bring that up, because, you know, we were going over a piece that Kuharsky put out over the weekend where he basically caught up with Borgonzi, and Callahan was involved in this too. And their thought was, like, if you love the quarterback, like if you think there's a franchise quarterback, the quote that Callahan used was, well, there's not really a price for that. So it is interesting. Like, to me, and I've kind of approached it this way, like, to me, if they love Cam Ward, then I don't really care what anybody else offers. The question is, do they love Cam Ward? I mean, that's a question that I can't answer. But if they do, then I'm not trading.
No, because if it's a franchise quarterback, I mean, look, there's a reason teams trade, you know, 2 and 3 first round picks to get that guy, because they're that valuable. You know, as we talk about the number of Super Bowls that have been won with, you know, we can count them, you know, Joe Flacco, Trent Dilfer and Nick Folk. You know, that's it. The rest are by dudes, okay? And so, you know, you've got to have a guy, you know, back there. You know, we can just go back to last year with the Titans. You know, what? How many games did the Titans win last year with competent quarterback play? Just an NFL competent level of quarterback play. They go from 3 to like 7, right?
I was going to say they at least double up.
Yeah. And so, that you know, look, offensive line, extremely valuable. Defensive line, extremely valuable. Playmakers on the outside, extremely valuable. It's easier to find those guys. Ask the Chicago Bears, okay? You can find those other guys. Finding the guy to pull the trigger is not the easiest thing. And there's no guarantees, because if there were guarantees, you know, Trevor Lawrence would be a top 5 quarterback. You know, he was everything coming out, and, you know, he has not been. I mean, he has not been terrible, but he's just been okay. But, you know, Floyd Reese used to always say that. He used to say, even if you have a franchise quarterback, if you're picking and you view a guy as a franchise quarterback on the board, you have to take him, you know, because those guys are that valuable. So I completely agree with that notion. If you love this guy and you are convinced he is the future of your franchise, 199%, then there really is not a trade that gets you off that pick.
Yeah, I mean, I have my doubts that that's really how they feel. But yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with it. But see, what Floyd is talking about is the evaluation of the quarterback is so good, you can't not do it even though you don't need it. The problem is that so many teams are, well, God, we do need it, and it is so important. So let me put on my quarterback goggles for this guy. You know, and all of a sudden he more and more starts to look like that guy. That's what, as a Titans fan, you just really hope is not happening here.
Yeah, and look, I mean, if you're Brian Callahan, you really want a quarterback. I mean, you want to save your job. And so it would be easy to put on, you know, those quarterback goggles. And also, it's the first pick goggles. You know, you shouldn't be picking first again. And if you are, it's somebody else doing all of it. So, you know, you've got to get it right. And look, to me, it would be terrifying to be sitting here with this pick and saying, you know, we like this guy, but we're going to pass. And then still needing a quarterback and coming back the next year, and all of a sudden, you know, you're picking 7th. And there's 2 really good ones, and neither team's willing to trade on the top 2 spots. And suddenly, you know, you're stuck without a quarterback still. And Cam Ward is doing Jaden Daniels stuff. And you're like, oh, my gosh. We're just stuck in this. And, you know, you're right. You can't pick out of the what-ifs and the fears. You have to pick on the evaluation. And you have to trust your evaluation. It's why these guys get the big dollars, and it's why their jobs are so volatile.
Corey, last thing for you here. Tennessee's run comes to an end yesterday against Houston. You know, obviously you score 15 in the first half, and you're just not going to give yourself a chance there in the second half. So what did you make of the run for Tennessee and kind of where things go from here with Rick Barnes and company?
Well, I think I said on this show it's going to come down to 3 guys and 2 of them producing in every game. You know, it was Gainey, Lanier, and Milicic, and they needed at least 30 from 2 of those guys in every game. And, you know, Lanier was really good the first 3 games. I think he averaged 22 points a game the first 3 games, and they went 0-for-14 on their first 14 3-point field goals. NCAA all-time record for futility in the first half of an Elite Eight game. Generally, you don't win a game in the first half, but you can certainly lose it. And against a team like Houston and the way they play defense, there's no way they were going to come back from that deficit in that short amount of time. Look, it was a good team, you know, with some really, you know, Ziegler and Mayshak, you know, those guys have won, you know, a ton of games. But they run into what a lot of Tennessee teams have run into, and that's when you get this far – you play a really good team, and you can't afford an offensive clunker. And inevitably, that offensive clunker seems to get them every year, whether it be in round one, two, three, or four. You know, that's why I still view last year as the year they needed to make it happen with Connect, because he was that guy who could always go get them a basket. And, you know, the other hard part about the loss this year now is looking at next year, you know, they need a lot of pieces. You know, you lose a Ziegler and a Meshack and a Lanier, and they've got a lot to replace.
They certainly do. Corey, great stuff as always, my friend. Thanks for taking time to be with us this morning.
You're blessed. I understand that.
We really are. Each Monday morning, we are blessed.
Hashtag blessed.
Yeah. Hashtag blessed. That's right. Corey Curtis joined us.
Go ahead. By the way, because I'm going to get you off track here. You remember the old Blues Brothers with Belushi and Aykroyd?
Of course.
I do.
They had the song, and at some point in that song, Aykroyd goes, "Rubber, what do you want for nothing? Rubber biscuit?" And I think of that every time I hear Joe and another biscuit.
You know, we took that off for like, I think, two shows one time, and people lost their mind. I guess it was one show.
Oh, yeah. I was one of them. I was like, this show sucks now.
We got apparently, our little kids back. Really love that on the way to school.
Yeah, it's a very kid-friendly program that we've got.
All right, throw me off.
We're not farting around here.
That's right. Corey Curtis from News 2 joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. We'll react to what Corey had to say. We'll take your thoughts on the Vols, their elimination in the Elite Eight yesterday against Houston. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.